Our Old Testament lesson this morning is from Isaiah 35, verses 4 to 7. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle lesson this morning comes from James, the book of James, the second chapter. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down at my feet, have you then not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, the 7th chapter, verses 24 to 37. The good news according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know. Yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she answered him, yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. You know, in a recent conversation, the descriptor, good Christian, was used to describe a mutual friend. Do you ever wonder if you're a good Christian? I'm not sure what that means exactly. There's always been some controversy about what distinguishes a good Christian from a lousy Christian. For example, we just read in our epistle lesson where James makes the case that good deeds always accompany faith. And that seems reasonable. But the implication is that if you're lagging behind in good deeds, maybe you aren't such a good Christian. So how many good deeds do you need to do? And is there a point where you can fall so far behind in manufacturing good deeds that you're no longer even in the club? It's not even that you're a bad Christian. It's that you're so lacking in kindness toward others that you don't even qualify to be a Christian at all. Is that possible? Or what if you just don't exhibit enough piety? What if you laugh at risque jokes? Or if your language is a little rough? I hate to admit this, but my grandpa used to tell me that I needed to learn to swear like a gentleman instead of a sailor. And what if you're inclined to be rude? What if you smoke, or chew, or drink too much? You know, I'm wondering about this, who's a good Christian, not only because of our epistle lesson from James, but of course I also read our gospel lesson from Mark, and I've noticed that the entire book of Mark is absolutely chock full of people who, if they were alive today, I don't think most of us would identify them as good Christians. Most of these characters exhibited no evidence of good deeds. In fact, most of these people that Jesus encountered were desperately needy. They were outcasts, lowlifes, some of them crazy, all of them desperate. Most were not the kind of people you could count on for good deeds or anything else. And the surprising thing is, it seems like those were the people who Jesus was drawn to. For example, in Mark 5, we didn't read this, but in Mark 5, there's an episode where Jesus was on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. And he was confronted by a raving madman possessed by demons. This guy lived in caves used for burial tombs. He habitually cut himself with sharp stones. He walked around naked and bleeding. Everyone was afraid of him. No one would go near him. But Jesus did. And having compassion on him, Jesus cast a legion of demons out of this guy. And the story ends with this guy in his right mind completely restored. Also in Mark, there's the story of the woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years. She'd wasted all her money on doctors trying to find a cure. But nothing helped. And her disease made her an outcast in that society. All her dreams were dashed, dreams of getting married and having children. Finally, desperate, with nothing to lose, one day she found herself trapped in a crowd as Jesus walked by in the town of Capernaum On a whim, hoping against hope, she reached out for the hem of his robe and touched it, and she was healed. No one knew this outcast woman. She was a nobody. But Jesus knew her and cared deeply about her, just as he cares deeply about you. And then in Mark 7, there's the story we just read of Jesus and this Syrophoenician woman. She was from what is now the southern part of modern Lebanon, near the ancient cities of Tyre and Sidon. That area was not part of Israel, but it had produced the most infamously evil queen of Israel, Jezebel. And ever since Jezebel, there had been hatred between that region and Israel. In fact, the only reason Jesus and his disciples went to the region of Tyre and Sidon was to hide for a few days from the harassment of the Pharisees in Israel. They were just looking for a little anonymity and rest. But this Syrophoenician woman had heard about Jesus and his power to heal, and heard he was traveling through the area. Desperate and hoping he could help her, he sought out Jesus to heal her little daughter who was possessed by a demon. In the book of Matthew, it says that the woman came to the place Jesus was staying, entered the house, threw herself at the feet of Jesus, and cried out in a loud voice, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." Well, that's significant because Son of David was a title reserved for the Messiah. So she knew who Jesus was somehow. She had faith in him somehow. And she was persistent, so unrelenting, and even so offensively rude in her tenacity to enlist the help of Jesus, that in Matthew it says the disciples begged Jesus to send her away. So Jesus responded to her bluntly. "Let the children be fed first. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Referring to her. In other words, "I came first to the people of Israel, not to you Syrophoenicians." Those are shocking words to us, maybe the harshest sounding words Jesus ever spoke. But this woman is remarkable. She refused to be offended, and recognizing her desperate need for God's mercy and help, understanding her own helplessness, knowing that only God alone could help her, she cried out, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." In other words, "Yes, Lord, I am an unworthy dog, but you are my only hope. And though I am unworthy, I beg for your mercy and kindness." Jesus immediately healed the woman's daughter. So what's the point? All these people written about in the Gospel of Mark who received help from Jesus, the guy who lived among the tombs and cut himself and walked around naked, the woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, and the Syrophoenician woman with the demon-possessed daughter, all of them had this in common. They were desperate and hopeless without Jesus. And they were the recipients of God's mercy and compassion and forgiveness. And they were fully aware of their unworthiness and overwhelmed with gratitude for what Christ had done for them. You know, I asked earlier, what makes somebody a good Christian? Is it good deeds? Is it kindness toward others? Loving your neighbor? Is Christianity primarily about what you do? Your behavior? Or is it primarily about what Christ has done for you? Look, your kindness and good deeds will come without effort if you recognize what God has done for you through Christ. Kindness toward others is merely your response to God's kindness toward you. Read Matthew 24, verses 31 to 46, where Jesus describes the last day when all the people are gathered into two groups, the sheep who go to heaven and the goats who go to hell. The sheep were praised for their kindness toward others, but they didn't understand. They were shocked. Lord, when did we do all those good things you're describing? The point is that those who recognize what Christ has done for them are people who love and forgive others without even thinking about it. Love often expressed in kindness. You want to be a good Christian? Here's how. Feast on what Christ has done for you. Recognizing your desperate need for forgiveness, saturate yourself in God's forgiveness of you for the sake of Jesus. Be filled with gratitude and humility. Rest in God's love and forgiveness. Sinful though you are, we all are, you've been credited with the righteousness of Christ. It's been imputed to you. So take that truth and soak in it when you confess your sins and receive absolution as we did earlier. Feast on it when you receive and participate in communion. This is for you, to give you peace of mind, to nurture joy within you. Christ died for you. You're forgiven. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to understand that the point of Christianity is not what we do. It's what you have done for us. Lord, fill us with gratitude for what you have done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.